Passages of scripture. Elder Prochet is going to be our lead reader. We're going to read in unison. Our first scripture is our preaching passage, and it's the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to read from verse 11 through verses 32, the 32nd verse, from the 11th verse to the 32nd verse. And then our second scripture is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. That's going to be our collateral scripture. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 11 through verse 32. Please stand with me in the honoring of God's word as we read it. That is also a tradition here at this church. We stand when God speaks. Amen, amen, amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. If you don't, say wait for me. Okay, we got one person. Amen, amen. But we want everybody to get it. And Elder Prochet will tell you what version of the Bible he's reading from, and you can read from your favorite version of the Bible, King James, he's reading. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. Yes, in unison.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard muskets and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Does everybody have it? Say amen. And we're reading. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is come again. When your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For it was Jesus who said, and I, if I be lifted up. I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, amen. Okay, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are taking this Sabbath to celebrate fathers and what an awesome thing it is to transition to fatherhood. This morning or this afternoon, I want to talk to and about the six qualities of a godly father. The six qualities of a godly father. Luke, in the 15th chapter of his gospel, my brothers and sisters, introduces us to his recording of a triplet of parables that Jesus gave to show the mercies and grace of God that pursues us no matter how far we go and how much we mess up. Jesus gave these three parables. The first is found in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, and it is the parable of the lost sheep. Everybody say the lost sheep. Jesus gave another parable the same day, the same time. And that parable is recorded by Dr. Luke in Luke chapter 15, verse 8 through 10. And it is the parable of the lost coin. Everybody said the lost coin. Then finally, Jesus gives a parable the same day, the same time, in the sequence after the first two, and this is the third parable found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, and it is the parable of the lost son. Everybody say the lost son. Now, I'm not going to focus this morning on the parable of the lost sheep or the lost coin. Because even though they all are focusing on one big lesson that Jesus is trying to teach about God, I want to spend some time today as we celebrate and reflect on the influence and the need for fathers in the lives of our sons on the parable of the lost son. here's where it takes a turn. This parable, like the other two, is not really about the sheep, the coin, and the son. The parable, my brothers and sisters, is about the father. It's about the shepherd. And it's about the woman who lost the coin. The parable Jesus is giving, my friends, is intended to show how much God cares about us. In the parable of the sheep, the lost sheep, God is the good shepherd who goes looking for the sheep. Why? Because sheep do not have consciousness. Sheep cannot make a decision. They act instantly. I wish somebody was listening to me. And what Jesus was trying to share with his disciples is there are some people who have lost their everlasting mind. The devil has captured them so much so that they don't even use the gift of will that God has given to them. They act on instinct. And those people, God has to go look for. And then the parable of the coin. The coin is representing those who do not know their worth. See, the scripture said the woman had 10 coins and one got lost. Now, she could walk away and say, well, I still got 9 left. But she understood the worth of that coin, even though the coin didn't know its own worth, because the coin is not a living entity. So the Bible said to make the budget to be met, the lady took a broom and a lamp and began to sweep. There are people, Jesus is saying, that God has placed worth in that do not recognize their very worth, and they allow people to tell them what they are instead of who God made them to be. And God, like the woman, has to go sweeping up through the mess and the filth of life to find them. But then Jesus said, but this story is about a father and a son. Now, I have a good friend. Most of you know him. And he's a son of this church, and he shared something with me. His name is Dr. Emerson Miller. Dr. Miller and I were talking when I was doing my doctoral research on my dissertation, which is entitled Discipling African American Males Between the Ages of 15 and 55. And Dr. Miller told me, Elder Wilson, that men or male go through 3 life stages. Or there are 3 life stages that male should go through. The progression. The first stage is the boy stage. Everybody say the boy stage. The second stage is the man stage. Everybody say the man stage. And the third stage is the father stage. Everybody say the father stage. Now, I don't want to talk about a boy today. And I don't want to talk about a man either. I want to talk about godly fathers and the 6 qualities that authenticate who a godly father is. Now, boys have to grow up to become men. When they're boys, they don't think for themselves. They are to be trained and reared and cultivated. They are to be led. Someone else makes decision for them. But God didn't make male to always be boys. That's why I like that group who named themselves Boys to Men. There comes a time in the life of a boy when he has to progress and transition from boyhood to manhood. Now I like manhood because men are people who are responsible for themselves. Men take care of their business. Men pay their bills. Men are an asset to their community. Men go to work. Men plan their lives. But men are not necessarily fathers, because there is something about fathers that men do not possess. Men may have all of the qualities of working and ethics and asset to community, but one thing that men have that fathers don't have is self-centeredness. So a man will pay his bill because he doesn't want his credit to go bad. A man will get up and go to work because he needs to take care of his bills. A man will buy a car that he likes because it makes him look good and feel good about himself. A man may buy a house that he wants because he wants to be seen as an important character in the community. A man will take care of his business. I wish that boys would grow up to be men and not boys masquerading as men. And the difference between a father and a man is when you get to fatherhood, Elder Jones, it is no more about you and about what you want and about how nice your car should look. It's about your children, your posterity, your family, your wife. And so Jesus, in this parable, is talking about the ultimate Father, God, Yahweh. And he uses this parable not only to teach about who God is with respect to what he thinks about us, but also to teach the disciples that if you want to be like God, you have to transition from manhood to fatherhood. Now, let me make it clear here. It doesn't mean you have to have children. See, you don't have to have children to be a father. You just have to be sensitive enough to look out for young boys or young men who have not gotten to full manhood yet and say, he may not be my biological son, but I will take him because I have a father instinct, a father passion in me, and I will put off some of the things that I want to do for myself to help this young man grow up to be a real man. Is there three fathers in here who want to say, I thank God for giving me the heart and the mind to be a godly father? Listen how Jesus starts this parable in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12a, the first part. He says, a certain man. What Jesus is trying to show Elder Landry is the person he's talking about is not a boy. The person he's talking about is not careless and irresponsible and relying on his mama at 45 years old to pay his rent, relying on his daddy at 60 years old to let him stay in the basement. No, no, no. Jesus is saying the person that I'm talking about is a man. He has left his mama's house. He's left his daddy's house. He doesn't call back home to ask for them to help him make the rent. He has gotten to be a real man. And Jesus says, from manhood, he progresses to fatherhood. Watch the progression of the story. A certain man, everybody say man, had two sons, everybody say father. When you read the story, Sister Adams, that's the only time Jesus refers to him as a man. After that, throughout the rest of the narrative, he's referred to as a father. Because once you become a father, you don't go back to manhood. Okay, let me say that again because somebody missed it. Once you progress, once you grow up, once you escalate, once you get to the height of being a father, you never rescind or recede or come back down to just being a man. Teach, we go. I'm trying to do it, Lord. He said, a certain man transition from manhood, and now it's a father. And he has two sons. He says in verse 13, something that Jesus knew would churn the very stomach of those he was speaking to at that time. Because what Jesus moves to saying was taboo in that culture. He said one of his sons came to him and said, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me what belongs to me. Why are you saying it was taboo in that culture? Because in that culture, the father never divided the inheritance until the father was dead. So what the son was saying to the father is, I wish you were dead. I'm sick and tired waiting for you to go to some nursing home. If I could, I would kill you myself. Give me what belongs to me so that I can go and live my life. Watch this. The first quality of a godly father is he is composed. Everybody say composed. What do you mean by composed? Well, in that culture, with that understanding, that father had the right to get up and kill that son. Matter of fact, he could have called the village elders and they would have took him in the center of town and stoned him to death. But one thing that Jesus is showing us about godly fathers is that they are composed, they are measured, they're calm and collect, they don't let anything rattle them. Here's what this father does, and this moves us to the second quality of a godly father. The second quality of a godly father is that he is a character cultivator. Everybody say character cultivator. How does he cultivate this young man's character? He is composed. He's not letting this young man cause him to lose his mind. He understands that even though this young man is saying something that is not normal for a child that he supported, give everything he had to groom him from the day of his birth, and this child is showing his insensitivity, his ingratitude, his carelessness in insulting his father. This father, my brothers and sisters, does not allow this to shake his fatherhood. The Bible says in verse 13, he calls not just the son that asked for his inheritance, but he calls the other son and says to him, listen, your brother feels that he's grown, he's a man, he doesn't want to be under my rules anymore. He wants me to die so he can go on and live. Well, I'm not ready to die yet, but I'm going to act like I was dead. I'm going to give him everything that belongs to him. Do you want yours too? I'm not making this up. Read the text. The scripture said he called both sons and divided the inheritance with them. In other words, what he was saying was, I want you to be a man, but we're not going to have two men in this house. I wish some father was listening to me. See, let me say this, brothers and sisters. God loves us so much that God is willing to allow us to choose to separate from him. God is willing to allow us to go to hell if that will make us happy. That's why so many people are going to be lost. It will hurt God to see them lost, but God has given us something called choice and will that makes us different from cows and goats and coins and sheep. A man can think. A man can decide. A cow cannot think. A cow will always moo. A cat will always meow. A goat will always meh. And a dog will always bark. But a man can think. He can choose to be a man or he can choose to be a dog. And God cannot stop him. And the Bible says that this father said, if you feel like you want to be a man to take care of your own affairs, I'm going to give you everything that belongs to you and I'm going to free you to go. Let me tell you something, godly fathers, you cannot babysit your sons who should be men. If you notice in this story is not about the mother. Because there is something in mothers that God has not put in fathers. It is our job to train, to nurture, to allow our young men to grow up to be real men. We can't coddle them at 25 years old, scared to let them fly. The problem with most of us And the problem with African-American males that got our young men out here don't know whether they are going or coming is we don't have enough fathers around to cultivate in them the character of manhood. And the few fathers we have become sissies. Excuse my expression, but I'm talking to my men today and I'm sharing with them what God has shared with me. God wants us to be men to look at these young men in our lives and get them to the level where we can say, you know what? You are leaving today and you are not coming back unless you are coming to visit. This man was a character cultivator. So the Bible says he gave him his share of the inheritance. Brother packed up and left town. And what he didn't realize was he was just a boy perpetrating as a man. Because he had not cultivated the characteristics of manhood. He has some, but not all. He allowed his inheritance to choose his friends. Let me say that again. Somebody missed it. I'm speaking to a young man now. He allowed what he had to define who he is. You know, people will come around you because of what you got. And as soon as it's gone, they're gone. Because they didn't come around because of who you are. They came around because of what you have. And you allow what you have to define you. Pastor Weegard does not define me. It's just a title. I am Theodore R. Weegard. Whether I have this title or not. Who I am is not what my title is. Because if the Lord took my sight and took my voice, do I stop being who I am? I'll stop being the pastor because I can't preach. I don't have a voice. I can't visit anybody because I can't see them. But I don't stop being who I am. And most of us, brothers and sisters, define ourselves not by who we are, but what we have. This man leaves and everybody flocks to him. And used up his inheritance. And now he's broke, busted, and half disgusted. Everybody is gone. And ain't it funny when you think you got it going on, then the rain comes and you realize the umbrella you got is broken. It began to be famine in their country. But one thing that I like about this brother is even though he did not take all of the training that his father gave him, I told him his father cultivated character. There was one training that he took with him, and that was his work ethics. Read the text. He didn't go stand in a welfare line. He didn't go standing on the corner with a cardboard box talk about food for work. The Bible said this man went filling out applications. Now, I may not like everything about this brother, but he and I have one thing in common, and that is we both like to work. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I'm not saying this to impress anybody, but I'm saying it to impress on all of us the fact that there are some things about us that we need to have as a part of our identity. And I'm talking about character. I'm not talking about a house, a car, or, you know, money in the bank. I'm talking about a character, one character that God have allowed my father to cultivate in me and my brothers was the character of work. I have never been without a job since I started working. Never. I did some crazy thing with the money I made on the job. I may have got paid on Friday and got broke on Sunday evening, but I went back to work on Monday. I always work. And that's why when I was reading this story, I said, now I don't like this brother that much, but I like this part about him. The Bible said the brother decided, listen, I'm broke. I don't have nowhere to live, nothing to eat. I can lay here and die, get on Oprah and talk about how my daddy hasn't called to check on me since I left and all this kind of crazy stuff, blame everybody for my problem, talking about people that I bumped into. I bought him a car. You know, I used to let him live in my apartment when I had this condo. He used to come by. Now, no. I'm not getting on Oprah. I'm not getting on Geraldo. I'm not talking about nothing. I'm going to look for me a job. Is there any man up in here who can say, I'll take responsibility for my actions? I don't need to know where you grew up. I need to know, have you filled out the application at Walmart? That's what I need to know. I don't need to know what your daddy did to you. It's already done. You can't unscramble the egg. What you're going to do about it now? That's what real manhood is. People walking around here always crying about the world, what the white man did, what the black man did, what my mama did, my grandmother did. So what you're going to turn to a man and say, what you're going to do about it? This man, I guess he became a man then. He was perpetrating as a man first, you know, having a ball on his daddy's earnings. But when that earning ran out, he decided, I'm so glad my daddy taught me how to work. I'm so glad that my daddy taught me to go look for a job. And here's the problem, brothers and sisters. Don't look for the job that's paying $20,000 a month, because you're not going to get it yet. Start somewhere. Go to Walmart and say, listen, I want to be a bag man. Well, we don't have no job in the warehouse. Yeah, well, can I bag at night? Can I be a greeter? Start somewhere. The problem that I have with people that come to the church, and I'm not going to stay on this too long, but I want to talk about it as I'm feeling. Pastor, can you please help me with the rent? Pastor, can you please help me with the electric bill? Pastor, can you please help me with the water bill? Pastor, can you please? And then you go to the house and they got a 50-inch television. You know, they got furniture from rent to own. You know, and then you ask them, are you working? No, I can't find a job. No, don't tell me you can't find a job. There are people in this town looking for somebody to clean their house. There are people in this town looking for somebody to wash their car. There's a, let me tell you something. I got so down one time, and people that know me will tell you, my brother and I, we started a hot dog business. I lost my job. I used to work for a Wells Fargo security. And for some reason that you don't need to know, I lost the job. And Fred said, let's start a hot dog business. So we got this little hot dog cart. And get our hot dog, and we will go to Bartram High School and sell hot dogs. And when the kids are out of school and everybody's gone, then we come back to Southwest Philadelphia, and I'll be riding around. Get your hot dog here, hot dog. It's the Freddy dog, the T dog. People were buying this stuff. My friends used to come look at me and hey, T was gonna, I'm selling me some dogs. But guess what? At the end of the day, I had at least $75, $80 in my pocket. I didn't have to go begging anybody to pay for my stuff. You gotta start somewhere. That's why I like that woman that I preached about the other day, the Syrophoenician woman. When Jesus said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs, she said, you got some crumbs? I'm going to start with that. Because what I've realized is everything that's in the bread, all of the ingredients, all of the nurturing and nutritional benefits in the bread are in the crumbs. Go to work. Find a job. And then work your way up. So this God, the Bible says, he gets to this place. Now watch this. Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson. This man is a Jew. The person he's working for is not. He has a pig business. I like Jesus because Jesus is God and Jesus is real. Jesus said, this man hires himself to a man who has a business that is despicable to his kind. He goes into the swine business. And I thinking about the essence of work and pay. I believe the man told him, well, you know, we got to keep 1 week's pay, and you don't get paid till the next pay period because you started 3 days before the pay period ended. So you got to wait till you get paid. That brother said, well, these pigs look like they don't want the rest of these husks. I got to eat to have strength to come to work. You know, some of you Adventists would say, well, you know, the Lord doesn't want me to work with these pigs, and I can't even be. You left the Lord a long time ago, so you may as well work with the pig. You see how holy we get? You're there doing everything but what God wants you to do. And now it comes to survivor, and you're going to invoke God with your lazy self. Talk about, you know, the Lord don't want me to work on Sabbath. You better go get a job. I'm trying to talk to some men here today that needs to transition to be fathers, responsible, not just for themselves, but for others. This young man said, I don't care if my daddy is a Jew. I don't care if I grew up keeping the Sabbath. And I don't care if I grew up knowing that the Bible doesn't want me to eat pig or touch pig. He said, that's the best I got right now, and I'm going to find me a job. Turn to somebody and say, get a job. I didn't write the story. Jesus wrote it. He told it. This man, go eat husk, eaten from the pigs. But here is what I like about the Father. Read the text. It says he got famished and no man helped him. That no man included his dad. When you want to cultivate character in your sons to make a man, you can build them out. Don't you think somebody body, took the news back, and said, guess where I find Tyrone? He's working in Mr. Brown's pig pen. And the father said, he is. Yes, sir, he is. And he's so hungry, he's eating the leftover from the pig. And I think the father said, he is. Because he chose to be a man. What am I trying to say? Let me circumvent this story and come back into our spiritual experience. Some of you think that God is going to go out there to get you. You are not the coin. Some people are not the sheep. Some people made a conscious choice to separate themselves from God. And as much as God is longing for you to come back, he is not coming to get you. But I thank God that the story doesn't end here. The Bible said this young man came to his senses. He said, wait a minute. I believe that husk didn't taste right that day. He said, wait a minute. What a fool I am. Messing with pig feed. When my daddy got servants that eat food better. He said, I must be a fool. I don't think he gave the man 1 week notice. I think he went up to that man and said, sir, Mr. Brown, I ain't working here no more. Where'd you go and eat? Don't worry about it. I'm going back home. And I stopped by to tell some young man, some boy up in here who is messing around with their relationship with God, and you're finding that things are not working and God is not going to rescue you because you're no better. You need to come to your senses and say, wait a minute. What am I doing here? Living like a pauper when my daddy's got everything. Watch this. This young man had a plan. He said, listen. He said, daddy is composed. Daddy is a character cultivator. He said, but daddy is compassionate. That's the third quality. He said, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play on daddy's compassion. I wish somebody was listening. He said, I'm going to go and say, daddy, here's what I'm asking you to do. Don't even call me your son. Because I've already lost that privilege. He said, but just make me a higher servant. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of sinners. Because I know that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Is there two people in here who can say I messed up and I made a choice to mess up, but I thank God that I got a father who's got compassion, and when I come back on my knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh God, whither shall I go? And the God who is merciful, the God who is gracious, the God who is loving and caring and kind, the God who said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Will not turn me out. I'm going back home. Turn to somebody and say, let's go back home. Young man had a plan. I'm not sitting down here dying, hoping the church will come find me. Some of you got to turn to that father. You're billing your children out too many times. And that's why they will never get to destiny. Their father never stopped wishing the son would come back. You can see their father getting up in the morning and looking out. Has he gotten so hungry that he would realize he got surplus food here? Has life rained on him so much that he will come to his senses and say, there's a shelter here for him. But I'm not going to get him. And I came to the conclusion. I was talking to Sister Raquel, and she's our youth leader, and she was telling me about somebody who shared with her some things that hurt her heart about their relationship with God. And I told her, I said, Sister Raquel, there's nothing you can do about it. I said, you can keep praying for them. You can keep sending them little texts and whatever to encourage them. But choices have consequences. And this young man was dealing with the consequences of his choices. He made a choice to wish his daddy was dead. He made a choice to take his money and trifle it on riotous living. He made a choice to do what he did to get himself in that situation. So don't blame the Berean church for it. Yeah, I know we got issues, and this church isn't perfect, but this church is not responsible for everybody who left here and all the hell they're going through and their refusal to come back. We're going to love them when they come back. We're going to pray that they come back. But there are some people we just need to leave until hell knock them over. That's what I said. This young man came to himself. The Bible said nobody helped him. And I think God set it up that way, or even the father set it up. I think people came to the father and said, we saw your son. He said, don't give him a dime. Don't give him no water to drink. Don't give him no food. Don't give it. And you know, knowing how black people talk, that father had probably told everybody, you know, that boy wanted to kill me. You know, he was wishing I was dead. You know, and everybody's mad at him. Like, you, Mr. Brown, who took good care of that man, did all of that stuff for you. You treated him like that, and you think I'm going to give you a dollar? You got something else coming. Nobody. And he decided, I'm going home. I can see him grabbing his little bag. Shoe is busted under. Pants all torn, them pegs don't scratch it all up. Got his bag on. And while he's coming, he's memorizing what he's going to say. Father, make me a higher servant. Father, do I say a higher servant or a worker? Which one would you prefer, a worker or a higher servant? Okay, this is how. Father, okay. Okay, calm down. Okay, this is how you're going to say, Father, I'm not your, I told you I wasn't going to be your son anymore, but I know you understand, and I'm not blaming you that you cut me off. You know, he's rehearsing. He gets there, and when the father sees him coming, oh, bless his name, that's where God comes in. The Bible said the father got up, put on his robe, step out, and started running. Now, let me tell you something about that culture. It was out of character for a man his status to run. But that's how much God loves us. God will go out of character to meet us when we decide we want to come back home. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Jesus went out of character. This boy gets home, gives his spiel, and we see the father's compassion. Father said, boy, shut up. I knew you didn't know what you were doing, but I wanted you to grow up. So I let you go. servant, take him and bathe him. Wash him up and put his robe on. Put my ring on him. Get the fattest cow. Aren't you glad that when we come back to God, no matter how much time we wasted, no matter what we did, how we smell, what the world says about us, when we come back and God takes us back, he treats us like we've never left. He's compassionate. So the party's going on, and the other son comes in. What's all that noise? Tyrone came back. And the old man is just out of character. He ran to meet him, almost fell on his face, robe getting caught up on the twang of the... And now they'll kill the fattest cow. The boy is mad. And the fourth character we see in a godly father is he's caring and concerned. Now watch this. I said he's compassionate, but he does not compromise. Don't confuse God's compassion with compromise. And don't confuse God's caring and God's concern with compromise. God didn't go, the father didn't go chasing after this other boy. But the son who's upset outside, the father doesn't assume that he's in the house. The father asks. Somebody say he's caring. The father said, where's Joseph? Oh, he's sitting out there mad. The Bible says the father goes out to him, caring and concerned. God cares and is concerned about us. And thank God, he allows us to talk to him. Come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. The son said, Dad, I can't believe you. I've been here with you all this time. Your son left and wasted everything. Wish you were dead. And he comes back. You throw a party for him. And I've been here all this time. You haven't even thrown the party. That's another sermon that I'll preach, so I'll move on. We move from a composed father to a character cultivating father, to a compassionate father, to a caring and concerned father. And the fifth characteristic or quality is a consoling father. He says, son, he said, everything here is yours. He already took his share. You could have done whatever you wanted with what's here because it's yours. But remember, he's your brother. And he was lost, but he's found. He came to his senses. The father don't look at the son and say, oh, you with your jealous self. Your brother's been gone. You didn't even pray for him. You didn't know. No. The father understood. That's why I understand when sometimes people come from the far country and come to the church and they are shouting, singing hallelujah, and church folk who've been sitting here all the time look at them strange and mad. I'm not mad at them. They don't understand what the joy is about, and I just got to act like God the Father and say, you know, he's happy. She's happy because she's been lost and he's been found. You've been in the house all your life and you don't have a clue what you have. And the last point is the father becomes a counselor. Not only does he console the mad son, but he counsels him. He said, listen, it's a good thing that our family is back together. I understand your hurt, and I understand how you feel, but come on in here. Give your brother a hug. Tell him you love him. Tell him you miss him. Tell him it's okay that he's back home. He's no threat to you. The father began to counsel their son, because if the father doesn't do it, there will be chaos in that house. And my brothers and sisters, the reason I believe God is not bringing some of the lost children back home is because he needs to counsel us first. He needs to teach us how to treat them when they come back. He needs to teach us that they're not taking anything away from us. There's enough love in the house to go around for everybody. And some of us have not gotten to that place yet. So where are my fathers in the house? I thank God for the fathers of Berean. These fathers that are composed, they don't just like anything shake them. They don't just like anything rattle them. These fathers that are character cultivator, that are living as example so that the other young men will see them and say, I want to be like Landry. I want to be like Wilson. I want to be like Prochet. I want to be like Lawrence. I want to be like Jones. I want to be like, they want to be like us, but they got to see it. And the way they're going to see it is if we stop compromising. Sometimes we got to let them go and make their own mistakes. It'll bring tears to our eyes. It'll cause us to cry the midnight tears. But you can't bail them out. Every time the phone rings, your heart's palpitating, picking it up. Okay, where you are? No, I ain't coming to pick you up. You got yourself over there. You know where the house is. 34131 Parkview Drive. I still live here. We got to get to the place. And this is a practical sermon now. And I'm not talking church. I'm talking our young men that are out there. Your sons and even daughters that are out there that know where this place is. We got to stop making excuses for them. We got to let them know, yes, I know somebody hurt your feeling at Berean. But you're going to let yourself go to hell because of something somebody did? I heard that late Dr. Gardner Taylor tell a story as I close. Elder Landry, Dr. Taylor said he went to preach at this church. And service went well and powerful experience of God. And he gets out and about to go to the pastor's study, and he sees this young girl, maybe 25, 30 years old, choking this 75, 80-year-old old lady, almost to death. And he said, what in the world are you doing? And the young girl says, she said, I'm crazy. And Dr. Taylor said, and you're proving her right? You keep doing that, you're going to be in jail in the crazy house. Don't lose your relationship with God because of somebody that called you crazy. Don't prove them right. Come on back here. Come on back home. And I'm so glad that there are fathers here. This city is looking for fathers who are composed, who are character cultivator, who are compassionate, who are concerned and caring, who are consolers and counselors. And if we do that, brothers, if we allow God to move us from being men to fathers, And one day, some young man will come back home. Some young woman will come back home. Some son will come home and said, it was because of my daddy that I am who I am today. I thank God that he is my father. I thank God that he is compassionate. I thank God that he is caring. I thank God that he's concerned about me. And even if my mother and my father forsake me, God said he will never leave me nor forsake me. And oh, if I go in the far country and his Holy Spirit comes to pursue me and I come to my senses, when I come back, my God will take me back. My God will lift me up. My God will clothe me with his righteousness. And I just got enough sense to ask you, won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he greet us? Won't he hug us? Won't he cleanse us? Won't he change us? Say yes.